And I tell you what, when I played basketball in high school, our coach would sometimes give a pregame speech. And when he would do that, sometimes you just felt like you could run through a brick wall. And Erskine, you had me there today, brother. He had me ready. And so thankful for the choir, for everyone singing today. And it's just awesome to be able to praise God. And this morning, we are in the last Sunday of this year, 2025. And so you know that. And this is kind of an interesting week, an interesting Sunday, because it's the last Sunday. And so we kind of think back a little bit, and we start thinking about the year past and what all has gone on. But at the same time, we start thinking about what may come in this upcoming year in 2026. So we kind of look back and we think about those things. We think about what may change. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about something that will never change. One thing that will never change. And my hope today is that today's message will just really encourage your heart, no matter what you're going through, no matter what may come in this next year that we're approaching, that you will remember that this one thing will never change, and that is the faithful love of God. Friend, if you're here today, I got good news for you. God loves you, and He is faithful to love you. And He will never fail you, and He is the faithful, loving God. Turn your Bible to Lamentations chapter 3, and I want to share with you a very powerful couple verses of Scripture. You may have memorized these verses. These are just some powerful, encouraging verses of Scripture in Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 22. Now, I'm going to encourage you today. I hope you have a Bible with you, because we're going to look at a few different places in Scripture and important places in Scripture that you might want to mark or you might want to highlight, that you may need to look back on these in the days ahead as you will need encouragement in your life. And so keep your Bible handy, because we're going to look at a few places this morning. But Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 22, here's what God's Word says. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For His mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope in Him. What a powerful few verses of Scripture. We're going to unpack some of this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for the time of worship that You gave us this morning. Lord, this time of worship has been a gift of Your grace that we needed. God, thank You for giving us another day this morning. Father, thank You that Your mercy is new today. That when we woke up this morning, we woke up to new mercies. Thank You, God, that when we went to sleep last night, You did not slumber, but You are awake always, watching over and caring for Your people. What a great God You are. We love You and we worship You. And God, we ask that this morning You would encourage our hearts with this reminder, God, that You are faithful, You will remain faithful, and that You love us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this powerful passage of Scripture, we see that God's love is faithful. It says, the Lord's faithful love will not perish. Now, this passage can be read several different ways in many different translations. For instance, one translation says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. The truth in this is that the Lord has a faithful love for you and me, and His faithful love will never end. God's love is faithful. If you're taking notes this morning, that would be your first note you would want to make. God's love is faithful. The Lord has a faithful love for you. That means this: He has a loyal love for you. You know what loyalty is. You have loyalty to certain people. You have loyalty to your family. You have loyalty to certain things in your life. Well, God has a loyal love. He has a commitment to His love for you. When I think about commitment, one of the greatest commitments that we make in life is when we make that covenant relationship to enter into marriage with our spouse. When we go and we stand at the altar and a preacher stands and he says, repeat these vows after me. Say your vows, and you make that, you're making that commitment to someone else. You're saying, I love you and I am committed to you. And it's not just a little commitment. It's not just a commitment that can come or go, but you say, I'm committed to you for the rest of my life. That's what marriage is. I'm committed to you no matter what. I'm committed to you in sickness and in health. I'm committed to you for richer or for poor. I'm committed to you in every single way, all the time. I am committed to you. That's what happens when we enter into that covenant relationship in marriage. And so if you're a young person here today and you're thinking about marriage, or one day you will be thinking about marriage, understand something. When you stand at the altar and enter into that marriage, you are entering into a covenant relationship. You are saying, I am committed to you for the rest of my life, and nothing will cause me to walk away from that commitment. That's what God calls us to. And God is committed to you and me in a way that we can hardly even fathom. God is so loyal. He is so committed to you and me. He has a faithful love for you and me. He is committed in His relationship to us. He is totally committed to you. God's love doesn't waver. His love is faithful. And He is committed in His love to you. God's love for you cannot move. When we see that the Lord's faithful love does not perish, and that because of the Lord's faithful love, we have this security. His love doesn't perish, and because of His love, we do not perish. It brings to my mind kind of this thought about an anchor, about this steadfast love of God. Now, if you've ever been on a big cruise ship or cruise boat, or maybe you were in the Navy and you saw some of those great carriers that are out in the Navy, you would see and you would notice that all of those ships have a great big anchor. I mean, we're talking an anchor that could almost fill this room up. Okay? A huge anchor. So that when a ship is out at sea, if for some reason it needed to drop anchor because a storm came, because they needed to just be secure in one place, that ship could drop anchor, and that anchor would drag the bottom of the ocean floor until it caught a hold of something, and then it would keep that ship steady and secure, and it would be immovable because the anchor would hold it there and the anchor would be secured. Listen, God's love for you is like that anchor. His love for you does not move. So when you go through the storms of life, when the seas begin to rage, when the winds begin to blow, when you look around and you think, what is going on? You need to remember this thought today, my friend, that God has a faithful love for you. His love is like an anchor, regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of the storms that you're going through. The anchor of God's love has fallen down, and He has secured you, and it is immovable. He will keep you secure and strong in His love. Isn't that wonderful to know that God loves us in such a way, and that His love is immovable? It cannot move. And God's love, listen, not only is it immovable, but God's love cannot stop. His love will not stop. Nothing will cause God to stop loving you. Now, that's something that people struggle with in our relationships to one another. Often in our relationships to one another, our love is earned. Our love is merit-based. You know, we love somebody if that somebody can love us back. We love somebody if that somebody can help us in some way. And it's a merit-based love. It's a love that is earned, but God's love for you isn't based on anything that you give to God. Did you know that this morning? God just simply loves you. That's who God is. And He loves you, and He loves you regardless of how you came in here this morning. He loves you regardless of what you've gone through in your life. God loves you, and nothing will cause God to stop loving you. That's one of the great lies of the devil. Is the devil wants you to think that when you've done something wrong against God, when you've sinned against God, when you're living outside of the will of God, you're not being obedient to God, he wants you to start thinking that God has stopped loving you. Friend, God always loves you, and he will never stop loving you. The devil wants you to think that when trial and tribulation and storms come into your life, that that has come into your life because God is not loving you in that moment. That's the furthest thing from the truth. It could be that in the middle of that storm, God's allowing you to go through that storm so that you can experience His love in a way that you haven't experienced before. I'm telling you today, my friend, nothing will cause God to stop loving you, and nothing can separate you from God's love. Turn to Romans chapter 8, and I just want you to see this. This will help bring some of this together for you. Romans chapter 8, one of the great chapters in all of the Bible. And you come to the end here of this chapter, and I want you to see what God's Word says. Romans chapter 8, and I want you to just, we're just going to go down to the last two verses, verses 38 and 39. If we had more time, we'd go up a little bit further and read some more. But listen to this. It says, God's Word says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." That's as plain as day as it can get, my friend. Don't take my word for it today. Take God's word for it today. He says nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate you from His love. Nothing. There's no darkness. There's no tragedy. There's no pain. There's no suffering. There's no storms. There's no government. There's nothing that can happen in this life. There's no demonic forces. The devil can't do it. Friend, he even says death itself cannot separate you from the love that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate. Listen, this Christmas Eve, I got a call from my mom, who told me her mother died this Christmas Eve. She passed away, 94 years old. And I want you to know something. The thing that gives our family hope is that her faith was in Jesus. And the Bible says that nothing, not even death, can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing, my friend, can do that. Friend, I'm telling you today, if you live your life and never submit your life to Jesus, if you never come to Jesus by faith and trust in Him and become a child of God, you will spend eternity in a real place called hell, the lake of fire. And the Bible makes it clear that even in that place, you will still not be separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, because nothing will separate. I believe that's one of the things in hell that's going to be so terrible for so many people, is that you will be conscious there, and you will know in hell that you refused the love of God and that He loves you, but you chose not to surrender your life to Him. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, because God is love and He loves you. Now, not only does Lamentations chapter 3 tell us that God's love is faithful, but it also tells us that God's mercies are never ending. Go back and look at it with me again. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. It says, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for His mercies never end. They are new every morning. God's mercies are never ending. I've heard this and read this several times from many different people, but you think about it like this. Grace, what is grace? Well, grace is God giving you something that you do not deserve. That's the unmerited favor of God. Grace is, think about it, the gift of salvation. You opened gifts this week, and you were given gifts, and you opened them. And salvation is the free gift of God. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You didn't do something so good. God said, all right, you're good enough. I'm going to give you my gift of salvation. No, God says, it's unmerited. It's undeserved. You don't deserve it at all. And God gives it to you, and you receive it. That is grace. God giving you something that you do not deserve. Mercy is God not giving you something you do deserve. You say, well, God wouldn't give me something that I do deserve? Yeah, and you better be thankful for that today. Because you know what you and I deserve? We deserve the wrath of God. That's what we deserve. We deserve eternity separated from God. We deserve for God to take us out right now today. We deserve the consequences of all the actions and sins and things we have committed against God and one another. But listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says God is merciful to you and me. That is, He has withheld His wrath. He is patient. He is long-suffering. He has not given you what you do deserve. The Bible says that God's mercies are never ending. They are new every morning. When I was a teenager, kids, I want y'all to close your ears, okay? Don't do what Daddy did, all right? Let's just put it like that. When I was a teenager, I was 16, so I had a truck, you know. I just started driving, and after school one day, my other friend, he had his truck, and we got out of school, and school let out, and we were some 16-year-old boys, and so we were kind of driving in ways you should not be driving. And we were going down the street, and it wasn't good what we were doing, okay? And, you know, we didn't know that what we were doing was probably affecting just other people out just trying to enjoy their day. And it was dangerous. I mean, you would consider it probably reckless driving. And as we were going down the road, acting the way we shouldn't have been acting, thankfully, a police officer was coming the other way and caught us in the act. And the person in front of us were flashing their lights at him, saying, there's crazy people behind us. And so that police officer turned their lights on, and that police officer was on us quicker than you could imagine. Man, we pulled over, 16-year-old boys, just got their driver's license, and man, I mean, you know that pit in your stomach. You know when you're sick, you're thinking, this is the end. Man, my daddy's going to find out, and he doesn't care. I'm 16. He's going to get the switch out again. I mean, you're worried, and that's what was going on. And so, all of a sudden, now another couple more police officers arrived at the scene, right? But one of those police officers was someone that I had gone to school with her son. And we kind of grew up playing baseball and stuff together. And she came and showed up. She got the other police and said, hey, I'm going to handle this. I'm going to handle this. She came and she talked to me and my friend. She said, give me your parents' numbers. And she made a phone call to the parents. And then she came back to us and said, hey, your parents are going to deal with this. I hope you've learned your lesson. And we were able to drive away and go home. Probably should have had our license taken. Probably should have been in really, really big trouble with the police. But in that moment, that police officer came and had mercy on us. We deserved a much greater punishment, but there was mercy that was given. Friend, when it comes to our lives, you just need to understand that every single day, more than you realize, more than you know, God is showing mercy to you and me. When we deserve so much more punishment, when we deserve so much more wrath, when we deserve so much of the circumstances that we bring upon ourselves, God is merciful and He's taking care of us and He's providing for us. Our lives are full of days that we could say, if it were not for the mercy of God. I submit to you today, God is merciful to you in your life so often and in so many ways, and we don't even recognize it. That is how merciful and how at work God is in our lives. Listen, somebody needs to hear this today. God's mercies are new every morning. That's what the scripture says here. Listen, God's mercy isn't just a flippant thing. It's not just an every now and then thing, but friend, every single morning when you wake up, the Bible says His mercies are new. He doesn't show you old mercies. He doesn't show you past mercies. But God shows you and has new mercies for you and me every single morning. So whatever lays ahead of you, whatever's coming down the road, you need to understand God is with you and loves you, and His mercies are new every morning, the mercy of God. Exodus chapter 34 tells us a little something about this. I want you to see this just quickly. This is just who God is. This is who God is. Moses has led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He's gone up on Mount Sinai and he has met with God. He said, God, show me your glory. God says, if you saw my face, you would die. He says, Moses, I'm going to hide you here in the cleft of the rock, and then I'm going to speak to you. And I want you to hear what God says to Moses in Exodus. It says here in Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7, it says, the Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed. Listen to what God said. The Lord is a compassionate and gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's a compassionate God, a gracious God. Listen, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love and truth, maintaining faithful love to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin. This is who God is. He's a God of mercy, a God of compassion, a God of faithful love. That's who He is. God is faithful. That would be our final point this morning if you're taking notes. We saw that God is, His love is faithful. We see God's mercies are never ending. And then finally, God is faithful. Great is the faithfulness of God. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is the faithfulness of God. God is more reliable than the sun rising in the morning. Did you know that? God is more reliable, He is more faithful than any person you know. There's a lot of faithful people in this room today. There was a great group of people that went yesterday and built a wheelchair ramp for one of our church members in need. I mean, some faithful people. I mean, this church is filled with people that if there's a need, they're going to do anything they can to meet that need and be faithful to do it. Well, I'm so glad for the faithful people in our lives. I think about people in my life that I can call on, that I just believe, man, they're faithful. They're going to be there for me. They're going to help me. But did you know something today? No one comes close to the faithfulness of God Almighty. He is the faithful one. He is faithful when we are faithless. Did you know that? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 tells us that God is faithful even when we are faithless. Why? Because He cannot deny Himself. Think about that. God is faithful. Why? Because that is who He is. He is the faithful God. His faithfulness is not determined by your faith. His faithfulness is not determined by your life. His faithfulness is based on who He is. He is faithful and He will not deny Himself. God is faithful. One of the things that can happen in our lives is we can beat ourselves up about the faith that we have. You ever been there before? If I could just have more faith. If I could just be more faithful. The Bible tells us that it's not so much about how big your faith is, it's about where your faith is placed. And the most important thing about your faith and my faith is that our faith is placed in the one who alone is faithful. Friend, my faith will fail. Friend, I'll be like that one who was with Jesus and said, "I believe, but help my unbelief." But God is faithful and He will not deny Himself. It's so important that we know that whatever faith we have, we just have to place it in the one who alone is faithful. His faith will never fail. We put our faith in Jesus Christ and we trust in Him because He alone is faithful. He is the faithful one and He is faithful even when we are faithless. Don't let the devil tell you today, friend, that what you're going through is because of your lack of faith. Don't let some preacher tell you that the reason you have not been healed is because of your lack of faith. Friend, I'm telling you today, it's all about the faithfulness of God. He is faithful even when we are faithless because He cannot deny Himself. Friend, He is faithful to fulfill. He's faithful when we're faithless and He is faithful to fulfill. Listen to what Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says this. Listen to this. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since He who promised is faithful. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? Because He who promised is faithful. You know what you can take to the bank today? God will fulfill His promises. God is faithful to keep His promises. The Bible is full of the promises of God. God promises to send the Holy Spirit to be in you, to live in you, to comfort you, to guide you when you place your faith and trust in Jesus. If you've trusted in the Lord, you've received the Holy Spirit. You know how I know that? Because God has promised it. God has promised that if you are one of His children and if you've trusted in Jesus, He has promised that He is preparing a place for you in heaven, and when you die, you're going to be in heaven with Jesus forever and ever and ever. You know how I know that's going to happen in your life? Because God has promised it. Because God always fulfills His promises. He's faithful to fulfill His promises. And so, friend, we can trust Him and rely on Him because He is faithful to fulfill His promises. There's another promise in the Scripture. You find it in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, here's what it says. It says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, we could spend all day talking about and exploring the faithfulness of God. He is faithful to forgive. I'm so thankful for that this morning. God is faithful to forgive us our sin. Some of you today, you've been dealing with a sin in your life. You've been dealing with it all year. And you've been wrestling with that sin. You've been committing that sin. And you've come to God several times and you've said, God, forgive me of that sin. And God's forgiven you. When you've come to Him and you confessed your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you of that sin. And yet sometimes you feel defeated because you keep on sinning. And you say, God, why do I keep sinning? God, I do not want to sin. I do not desire to sin, but I keep sinning. God, what's wrong with me? Why am I not a stronger Christian? Why am I not more faithful? And the devil, he gets it in your mind that you're not loved by God because of the sin in your life. And he gets it in your mind that you're a loser because you keep committing sin in your life. And you keep sinning. And he keeps telling you, listen, just quit going to God. He doesn't want you to come to Him and ask for forgiveness. You've hit your limit. That's the furthest thing from the truth. God's mercies are new every morning. God is faithful to forgive you. If you will come to Him with whatever sin you have, and if you will lay it at the feet of Jesus, and you'll say, Jesus, I repent of this. I turn of this. Take it away from you. The Bible promises, God promises you this, that He is faithful to forgive you of that sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Friends, someone is here today and you've never came to Jesus with your sin. You've never been forgiven because you've never come to Christ and said, Jesus, I know I've committed all this sin in my life against You. Jesus, I give it to You. Take it from me. Forgive me. I turn my heart, I turn my life over to You. Jesus, You paid the penalty for my sin. There's someone in here today, possibly, that you think your sin is just too great. That God won't forgive you of that sin. That doesn't come from God. It comes from the enemy. He tells us right here, he is faithful to forgive you. If you will come to him in repentance and faith and say, Jesus, I know you died on the cross for my sin. And I turn this sin over to you. Take it from me. I repent. I trust in you. Friend, your sin will be forgiven today. You will have new life in Jesus. You will experience the blessing of God in your life. You will wake up to the new mercies of God every morning. You will sing a new song. Great is your faithfulness, God. Listen, God is faithful. And if you will come to him today, you will experience the salvation that only comes in Jesus. Would you do that this morning? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to give you an opportunity right here in a moment to come down front and to see me. And you just come and say, Pastor, today I'm coming to surrender my life to Jesus. I repent. I'm bringing Jesus my sin and I'm asking him to forgive me. The Bible says he is faithful to forgive you. He will do it. Maybe today you are a believer, you are a Christian, but there has been sin creep into your life that you know you need to ask God to forgive you of. Come to this altar and say, God, I confess it. Forgive me. Perhaps today you come weighted down with the burdens of this life in this world, and you've been struggling. And today you are reminded that nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And you just need to come to the altar and you need to say, God, meet with me in a fresh and a new way. Strengthen me today. God, help me. My faith is weak, but God, you're faithful and you are strong. Father, Lord, move us right now as we submit to you, as we yield ourselves to you right now. Holy Spirit, move in our midst, God. May someone surrender their life to you, Jesus. May someone encounter you in a fresh way this morning as we know, God, that you love us and that your love never ends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please come as we sing.